my squat was just stuck at under 300. I would go up, go back down, and it's like, I'm plenty strong enough. Why is this happening? So I decided to ditch the heeled shoes, went back to squatting in my Adidas shell tops, brought my stance in, and, you know, got the cue from, you know, Chad, you know, keep your knees forward just a little bit longer. And I went from hitting like 292 at Worlds to 319 at Nationals, and then 330 at the Arnold. So.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bletzer here with Doug Larson, Dr. Andy Galpin, hanging out here, and we're in Irvine, hanging out at
Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa.
Not even close. Oh, we're so far outside of Irvine. I'm 5 miles at least.
I was looking at the maps, and it just got me thrown off.
Yeah, you're anyways, so focused right now.
We're back in the backyard of Chad Wesley Smith, the avocado trees, and we're here with Marisa Inda, and you're just like one of the strongest women I've ever met in my entire life. And I'm really looking forward to having a conversation about how you got there. And one of the big things that I'm looking forward to learning about is what you may have found, because I assume that you train with a lot of men, what the training differences are between men and women.
Yeah, and I also know that you did bodybuilding for a number of years before you started powerlifting. And I'm wondering how competing in bodybuilding prior to being a powerlifter influenced your powerlifting success.
Okay.
I'm actually really interested in some of your lifting technique stuff. I've seen a lot of your videos, and your squat and your deadlift technique are unconventional,
yes.
We'll call it. So I'd love to hear about how you develop those things and who you think maybe would benefit from those styles.
Definitely.
Yeah. How did you get started in the world of... We're talking about powerlifting and things like that. Yep. We have bodybuilding that preceded that. What got you into fitness in general?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me on. I love talking about lifting weights. But what got me started in lifting just in general is I was a gymnast. I was always very active. Mm-hmm. And that sport has a shelf life. I mean, obviously, once you're over 16, 17, you're kind of not going to go anywhere in that. So I needed something to do. I tried track. I hated it. It was the worst sport ever. I did letter, however. And then I just wandered into a gym one day at 17 and just fell in love. So.
Yeah, but you said it was before that, right? You were tricking kids out of money when you were 10 or 11?
So my brother had that, you know, that garage bench, you know, with the weights, the gray plates on it. So coming from a gymnastics background, it's a lot of upper body work. So I was always really relatively strong for a girl to an upper body. So my brother would have his friends over and he'd be like, I bet my sister could bench more than you. Like, no, you can't. Well, I bet you $10. And of course, like, you know, I'm sure it wasn't like a powerlifting legal bench, but, you know, I hit 95 pounds at, you know, 12 years old, and we would hustle with friends. So
do you do that anymore? I mean, you could probably still make decent money hustling.
I get some DMs for that. So, I mean, I guess if I wanted to make some extra money, I could.
No, you could probably walk into the average bro gym and just like get, you know, find the guy with the tiny legs and then challenge him to something that you know you can beat him at.
I might have to consider that if things get tough.
Okay, so you didn't want to do track and field and you started lifting weights, so where did you go from there?
So to answer your question, because I started out in bodybuilding. So when I first started out, I saw a girl in the gym and I just used to creep on her. She had a great body and I just would, everything she would do, I would go and do it right after her. From there,
No shame.
That's ultimate creeper status right there. You just lurk and then you just follow them. And
that's a good strategy.
Yeah. So
creeping's a compliment.
It could be a compliment. I mean,
careful now. Behave yourself, boys.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they don't press charges, you're good. But yeah, I just started, you know, doing body part split training, which is like typical standard bodybuilding style training, and did a bodybuilding show. I met up with some guys in the gym who were trainers, and they're like, you have a decent physique. You should, you know, do a show. And I just started doing bodybuilding shows. And I did like, I want to say 6 or 7 bodybuilding shows at that time. And I placed really well in the teen division because there was no teenagers at that time lifting. And I would place about 4th or 5th in the open. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. The only thing I didn't love about it is as you get more involved into the sport, you know you're not going to do well if you're not doing drugs. Mm. So Yeah. It just was taking that turn. At that time, there wasn't physique or bikini. It was just bodybuilding. And the women just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that was just wasn't a path I was going to go on.
Yeah, it did get weird there for a while.
Yeah.
And that's why figure and bikini came along.
And that's what spawned all those other divisions. And, you know, unfortunately, you're kind of seeing that progression happen. Yeah. Even within those divisions.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Was there height divisions? Because in men, I think they used to have like under
well,
6 feet.
Well, now they do. But back then, it was just women bodybuilding and then men's bodybuilding.
So at 5 feet tall, you were toast.
Yeah.
Like, and no way you were going to be able to compete.
No way I was going to be able to compete. And also, I couldn't attain that level of leanness at the time. And, you know, I was doing everything on my own, you know, trial and error with dieting and stuff. All those girls are doing,
sure,
for the most part, all those things to get lean. And again, like I was 17, 18, 19 years old. I didn't have a nutritionist. I was basically, you know, in the Flex magazine going, okay, this is what Kevin Leverone is eating. I'm not a man of 280 pounds. So I just, I took those diets and like a recipe, I just cut it in half.
Did it a third,
to
yeah.
fit my.
Good luck.
And then I kind of just trial and errored it that way. But nice. I think I just started powerlifting 6 years ago. So I spent roughly 15 years in a hypertrophy block of bodybuilding. And I think that's why when I transitioned over to bodybuilding, I just was able to lift relatively heavy weights pretty quickly, because in bodybuilding, you're not neglecting any muscle. You're hitting everything, you're developing overall physique, and muscle moves weight. So I already had a pretty muscular frame, and I compete in the 52 kilo class, which is 114 pounds and under. And if you lined me up against all the other girls I compete against, I'm one of the more muscular, if not the most muscular, 52 kilo lifter in the IPF up there. And I just think that helped me tremendously, because I also didn't sustain a lot of injuries. When you're doing bodybuilding, it's all 10 to 12 reps. You're doing, you know, sub-maximal weight. And I think I was just able to develop stronger ligaments, tendons, joints. Right. I wasn't pounding my body with heavy weight all the time. So,
yeah.
There's.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I thought you were going to go.
I was.
What else about bodybuilding did you really enjoy?
I actually enjoy, I know a lot of people think bodybuilding training is really boring because you're not maxing out, but I think the best part about bodybuilding is just watching your physique change and being able to be the sculptor that manipulates that change, that you can decide like, okay, my delts don't have enough, you know, pop, no, not enough cap, well, I'm going to hit my delts harder. Mm. So I think that aspect of watching yourself transform, staying consistent, is the funnest part of bodybuilding. It's not necessarily lifting the heaviest weight like in powerlifting, but I want to create the illusion of having a small waist, getting those bigger thighs. I think that's the funnest part. And I think that's the addicting part with bodybuilding. I think that's why people, when they first get into lifting, that's kind of what they gravitate towards, even before powerlifting. So
before we go any further, I want to hear, what are your best numbers?
My best numbers. So I compete again in the 114 pound class and under. I typically weigh in about 112. I've squatted 330 pounds. I've benched 209 and deadlifted 413.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
the current all-time total record, world record.
Right. So all federations. Like
all federations.
You are
right,
like
now
the
it's
number
all-time
one
number
lifter.
One. Yeah.
All ages, everything.
Yeah. Open.
Wow.
Yeah. Not too shabby, I guess.
We need to
not
get,
too shabby.
I feel like we should be putting you in a cage with a bear and just let you go out and see what happens.
Charging admission to look at you.
I tell everyone I lift heavy. That doesn't mean I'm functional for anything else. So, just in this plane of movement.
So just to clarify, you're how old?
If you don't mind saying. I'm 41 years old.
So you're 41.
Yes.
And even compared to the 25 years out there, you still have the world records?
The all-time total world record, which total is the only number that matters in powerlifting. That's what
of course it is, because you have the record.
That's it.
But in powerlifting,
that's what a powerlifter says. Yeah. Like, well, there's a number that defines how strong you are, and it's whatever it is that they're best at.
Yeah.
But,
but
with it being the total, that makes no sense.
Individual lifts, obviously, it'd be great to have a world record in each individual lift, but at the end of the day, you have to be good in all three to
definitely
win the meet. So,
how far are you behind on the world records for the individual ones?
In the IPF, the squat world record is held by Susie Hartwig, which she's an amazing squatter. I believe it's 342. So I'm not like
too far
behind. And you know, to answer, kind of leads into your question, my squat was always lagging very behind until I changed my technique, which helped it shoot up from the 300 to the 330 within, you know, 6 months. So, and then on the bench, the world record on the bench is like 237. It's held in 1990. So that's bench is one of those lifts a lot of people complain about when they see it on TV, but the girl who holds a record has just great leverages, amazing arch, very short arms, it definitely lends itself to a better bench press. So,
yeah.
I mean, I take a closer grip, and you know, even though people think I have a huge arch, I still have to travel pretty far on the bench. So, 209 is not too shabby. I just gotta get better.
And from a leverage's perspective, most powerlifters aren't built for every single lift.
No.
There's usually one they're great at deadlifting, but not great at benching or something like that. There's always a trade-off.
Yeah, so there's always a trade-off. I think I've kind of in the middle where I'm not really built great for anything.
I guess that's kind of
what I was
asking.
Which lends itself to be pretty good in everything.
Total.
So,
perfect.
In the total.
So you got into powerlifting. What was that journey like? You've been in it for 6 years now?
Yeah. So basically after I had my kids and I was still, you know, I've always trained consistently even through pregnancy. I was just kind of bored. I wanted something to compete in again. It kind of gives your training a purpose. You know, it gets redundant. Working out, doing the same things over and over, not having an end goal. And I saw a flyer for a powerlifting meet and I had no idea. I'd never been to one and I just jumped in. I didn't even know you had to pause the bench press. I learned that the day of the meet. I didn't know I had the wrong kind of belt. I had a bodybuilding belt, so I had to shave my belt down because it didn't meet specs. So I think that's a mistake a lot of new people make. They get all worried and they want to see if they're good enough and they start checking numbers, this downside of social media. And then they're scared. Well, I've got to get better. I got to get better. I just jumped in and did it.
Yeah.
Liked it. And then from there I learned, okay, well, this is what I need to adjust to be good in the sport because I was still training like a bodybuilder. So. Yeah.
Kind of like waiting to join a gym until after you're in shape.
I'm gonna lose 10 pounds and I'm gonna join. But yeah, so.
Well, actually, I want to follow up on that comment. There is typically people that get far down into powerlifting or weightlifting for that matter, will look at bodybuilding principles and think like everything that they've ever done is completely stupid.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's awesome. But you're pretty against this. So what?
Yeah, I'm an advocate for incorporating both. I mean, if you even look at like a lot of bodybuilders, even though they're doing like partial rep ranges, they're muscular. And a lot of them, when they come over, they're strong as hell. Ronnie Coleman is strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Johnny Jackson is strong. Mm-hmm. These guys, they're moving weight. Now, maybe they're not doing it to the technical requirements that powerlifting requires, but they're strong. They have muscle. So I think the great thing about bodybuilding is that you leave there's no weak links. You're hitting everything.
So what principles did you carry over and do you still use in your training? And which ones did you leave behind?
I left behind, well, now because I do powerlifting, I have more structured programming, so I have specific blocks, because in powerlifting, as you get closer to meet, you have to be more specific to the main lifts. But that's for me, my peaking block is 3 weeks, so that's not that much time to just squat, bench, and dead. So I still incorporate all the accessory movements that I did before. I still do drop sets, partial rep ranges for things, even though people get so mad when you like have a partial rep for a bicep curl. I'm like, it's a bicep curl. I'm still
right.
about.
If that's the only bicep curl you ever did ever, then that could be a problem, maybe.
But it's like to everyone, you use a variety of things to enhance and tweak your physique.
Maybe like, well, this will give you a really easy example. Why would you ever need to do a bicep curl? You're a powerlifter. You deadlift. You never. Why would you ever need that?
So you can do Flex Friday for Instagram.
Ah,
come on.
Of course.
Flex Friday, we do everything for the gram.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Don't ski for Instagram.
Everything we do is for the likes.
Hashtag unplugged, yep.
No, but I mean, because I come from the bodybuilding background, I don't want to look like the stereotypical powerlifter. I still think you can have a great physique and still lift heavy.
Yeah, and it certainly also is important for the deadlift, right? I mean, one of your hands is in that position,
I think that's
right?
why people neglect doing like triceps and biceps, because they're like, okay, well, I'm deadlifting or I'm doing any pull movement that's, you know, hitting my biceps, or when I'm bench pressing, that's hitting my triceps. But I do it at the very end as just a finisher. So, you know.
And it hasn't compromised your lifts, obviously.
It has not. It's helped. So. So if it keeps helping, I'm going to keep doing it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So as you got into powerlifting, did you find yourself training with a bunch of men, or did you find women to train with? And how
you
did
know what?
You choose what kind of program you were going to do?
When I first started lifting, I've always had male training partners. And I think the great thing about that is I think, you know, they tend to push you. You can do more. I think the difference between men and women can handle more frequency. We can handle more volume. It takes us much longer to put on muscle. I think that's why women tend to be so afraid to step into the gym. Like, oh my God, I'm going to look like a man. Well, it's really not that easy unless you're injecting testosterone or you have some other issue happening. But it takes us 10 times longer to put on quality muscle. So as far as training goes, like I said, I've always trained with guys. I would always do extra sets or more volume than they were doing. And also more frequency. When guys bench pressing maybe once or twice a week, I could handle four times a week.
Yeah.
So
you think that's, I mean, not only because you're a woman, but also because you have a gymnastics background. Maybe you're used to more volume just over your entire
lifetime. Well, women in general can handle more volume because we're not pushing as much as heavy loads. So gotcha. Where guys are, you know, probably benching 200-300 pounds, most women, when they first start out, they're not lifting over 110. So, you know, they're well under body weight. So you can handle more volume. Those muscles are going to recover much quicker. And you need the volume to build the muscle because, again, unlike our male counterparts, we don't have the same hormone structure. So it's going to take more time, more volume to build up.
Yeah. Do you find that relative strength is really important there, where if you can only bench press one times body weight, you can handle more volume, you know, like if you're benching at 80%,
yeah,
then you're only lifting 80 pounds.
Yeah.
So if you're a 150-pound person only lifting 80 pounds, then that's just not that much stress on your joints,
exactly,
versus someone who can bench two times body weight or three times,
exactly,
body weight.
And then leverages come into play too, because if you have, you know, a 6 feet wingspan and the bar has to travel so much further, you know, it's you're going to take more time to recover. I mean, usually even lighter male lifters can handle more volume and more frequency than, like, you know, a super heavyweight can handle. But aside from that, like, there's a special exercises only women should do. No, I mean, lifting is lifting. We all still have to, have muscle and bone and joints, so.
Two-part question.
Yes.
So our friend Chris Moore used to always say that he felt that you needed a little bit higher intraset volume for the bench relative to the squat and deads. So, you know, if you're going to do like a max single or a double in a squat, benching might need triples or fours, something like that.
Yeah.
So first part, do you agree with that or not? And then second part would be, are those different for females? So you said females need more volume, but is that from more sets and reps, or is that from more sets?
Or are you speaking to, like, to hit a one rep max?
Like, if you're trying to improve
strength. Or trying to improve strength. Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely more volume, more rep ranges, and also more benching more times per week. Also not getting hung up on the big arch and the technique. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of women think, like, oh, if I get my arch really big, I'm going to be able to bench 50 pounds more. No, you need more muscle.
Yeah.
So doing things like dumbbell pressing, more accessory stuff to complement the bench, or more bench variations, is going to be helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll ask a better question.
Okay.
do you think, for example, women need more reps than the men per set? Or do they just need to do it more frequently? I think you answered the frequency part.
Yeah.
You think the rep ranges per set should be the same?
Yeah, if you're in a hypertrophy block, hypertrophy block is going to be the same for men and women.
Yeah.
That the rep ranges are, you know, the 8 to 12 rep range.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. I like how we covered, like, the bodybuilding, hypertrophy, the training with men and women. And I want to break, and then in the second half, get into your technique.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're actually going to have you teach us how to deadlift.
If you're interested in improving your weightlifting technique, you can go to flightweightlifting.com to download for free our 54-page Olympic weightlifting training guide. It covers the snatch, the jerk, the clean, all aspects of those lifts, from first pull, transition, second pull, the third pull where you're pulling under the bar, etc. We have videos attached to it. We have 2 weeks worth of programming. It's a fucking awesome, awesome, awesome guide. Go to flightweightlifting.com and check it out.
And we're back with Marisa. And if you're just listening, make sure you go over to YouTube, because we just did a technique video where she showed us how to deadlift, and she's definitely showing us things that you may not have seen before, and made some points that, I mean, even though we've been around lifting for a long time, good reminders of ways to do it, and the way she does it is specific to her. So especially if you're a shorter person or a woman, you might want to check that out. Next, we're going to be covering, we want to talk about longevity as a piece in motherhood, and then talk more about the technique as well. So, you know, we just came out of, like, a technique piece. So what have you found over time that you've changed, aside from just deadlift and bench? And we talked about bench a little bit with the arch.
Yeah. I get a lot of comments on my technique for squat specifically. Everyone's like, I can't believe you. Why is your squat stance so narrow? You need to widen your stance. Coming from a bodybuilding background, it was always high bar, more narrow stance. You know, you think of, can't even think of his name right now, but crazy legs. He was always a very
Frank Zane.
And, you know, you mimic that. It's like the very narrow stance squatting.
So Arnold did it too. Yeah.
So that's, you know, what everyone thought was going to, you know, propel their leg development. So I had squatted like that for 15 years, close stance, high bar. And so when I got into powerlifting, everyone's like, you need to widen your stance. It's the very geared lifting, like, as wide as possible. And, you know, I tried that, and the big problem that I had is I would always shift back. I couldn't, it was hurting. And, you know, my squat was just stuck at under 300. I would go up, go back down, and it's like, I'm plenty strong enough. Why is this happening? So I decided to ditch the heeled shoes, went back to squatting in my Adidas shell tops, brought my stance in, and, you know, got the cue from, you know, Chad, you know, keep your knees forward just a little bit longer. And I went from hitting like 292 at Worlds to 319 at Nationals, and then 330 at the Arnold. So yeah, it's just stronger positioning for me. Yeah. And even though a lot of people think it's very narrow, I'm not that tall. I'm only 5 feet. My squat stance is actually right outside of my hips. So, yeah, you know, for guys looking at it like that are 6 feet tall, like, oh, that's so narrow. But for me, it's you know, it's not like it's a couple inches apart, you know, it's right outside of where my hips are. So right.
Yeah.
Well, so traditionally, and as you mentioned, powerlifting, you're gonna take a wider stance,
yeah,
so that you can clear your hips really easy.
Yeah.
And so it shortens the leverage there. In your case, you keep your feet narrow and your knees actually don't go really far outside of your feet.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you have to sit sort of on top of your own femurs a little,
yeah,
bit. That's what it looks like in the videos,
that's
right?
What, I think that's what people think it looks like. Even though I'm sitting on top of my knees, I don't have the valgus collapse that's happening.
No,
I actually try to open my knees a little bit at the bottom and then shoot straight up. Mm, so, right. You know, there are judges, and specifically in the IPF, that don't like that squatting style, especially when you're smaller and the bar is sitting low. You tend to have more of a forward lean. Mm-hmm. So the head judge typically can't see if you're hitting depth. But, I mean, so far I've been fine.
And you're able to do that, though. What's tricky about you, with you can do that while still keeping your spine pretty neutral.
Yeah.
So you're not having low back problems all the time, which what most people would have that difficulty being.
Yeah.
So do you have really flexible ankles? How do you get
away
with
that?
Yeah,
I have good ankle mobility. So that's right. One reason that I ditched the heeled weightlifting shoe. Mm-hmm. What I was found what was happening to me on that is it would cause unbalance. So the weight wouldn't be centered over midfoot. It would push me forward. So to correct it, I would shift back. So when I was coming out of the hole, I would shoot into a vertical shin angle, mm-hmm, and then I would stall out. Like I couldn't recover, especially when you have a max effort on your back. So just moving my stance in, dropping the heeled shoes. I think that's kind of the crappy thing about powerlifting is when you get involved in it, you have 20 different people telling you how you need to fix your technique. And a lot of those techniques things come from geared lifting, because geared lifting was a lot more popular at first. So, you know, you'd have people like, you really need to tuck your elbows and bring the bar down to your sternum. And, you know, I tried all of those things and I'm like, you know, that just doesn't work for me. So even in my bench, I'm an elbow flared bencher. Mm. I'm a narrow stance squatter and I pull with a more narrow stance dead. And that's what has worked for me. And it's like I tell people, you have to find what's going to work for you and where you're going to be strongest. What works for me and for my leverages may not work for you and your leverages. So sometimes you have to, it's trial and error that's going to make that happen. So
yeah, it's hard not to get barraged with constant recommendations from people.
Especially
I've
women
been doing
lifters.
This for 3 years. I know exactly what you should be doing.
Right.
And it's, you know, and it's an experienced coach or an experienced athlete that instead of coming in and making a recommendation to somebody, just like, oh, I learned this way from this guy, and this is how everyone should do it, is why do you do it that way? You know, and I'm sure you get recommended a lot, but I think a more mature coach goes, oh, why do you do it that way? And they're there to learn instead.
Yeah, and anytime I've made a technique change, I stick with it to see is this gonna work, or is it something that's not gonna work for my leverages? It's not a strong position for me. And I just found that it worked. So, and I stuck with a wide stance for a few years, and it just wasn't progressing, so.
Right. Mm.
Yeah.
Do you find that you showed up into powerlifting with a lot greater quad development than most people show up into powerlifting?
Okay. Yeah.
And that's why you squat the way you do, as an example?
Yeah, I think, like I said, coming from the bodybuilding background and having that more narrow stance, my quads were already, I mean, my physique in entirety was pretty developed already, so I think that's just a naturally stronger position for me, and it's just carried over.
A lot of people are going to be probably apprehensive to the idea of using your quads when you squat.
Yeah.
Right? We hear this all the time. Yeah. This is a problem, quad dominant. So do you have, with your style, do you have excessive knee pain? Does it flare up a lot? Do you have issues there?
Luckily, I'm 41 years old. I've been lifting since I was 17. I don't have any major injuries or any major joint pain. So I don't have knee problems. I don't experience any
possible?
Of that. I don't know.
You're a fairy. You're magic.
I think part of it, again, was spending that time in bodybuilding and just really developing an overall good structure, and also keeping the ego in check. When I've had things that hurt, I don't try to pull a one rep max so I can get 2,000 likes on Instagram. I pull back and I stop.
How many likes are you getting on Instagram?
I don't know. To me, it's more about, you know, in the long run, staying healthy and being able to do the everyday things like tie my shoes, pick up my kids, go for a bike ride. So yeah. I think that's one of the benefits of being a mature lifter and being in the game for so long is I know when to stop and I don't let, you know, I let an RPE 7 actually be an RPE 7 and not an RPE 9.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Do you find yourself having different practices in the gym or even out of the gym that other lifters aren't adopting that maybe you go, oh, this person's hurt all the time,
yeah,
but
I
I'm
mean,
doing something different?
I stay in strength blocks. So a lot of times I see new lifters just get after that one rep max. I got to do one rep maxes all the time or I got to be in that two rep max range. When I'm done with the meet, I go right back into hypertrophy and I'm back in that 8-12 rep range and I might toggle between a strength block and a hypertrophy block, but I don't even think I pulled a heavy one rep max deadlift up until like I was 2 weeks out from a meet and it wasn't even a rep max. It was beneath what I've done on the platform. Yeah. So I save the big lifts for when it counts at a meet.
So if you had a meet, we'll just say 16 weeks out.
Yeah.
What would a general, what do you do, like 8 weeks of hypertrophy, then 8 weeks of strength, or how are those blocks?
That's usually if I'm, like, so right now, for instance, I'm getting ready for nationals, I'm about 8 weeks out. So the first 4 weeks for me were hypertrophy, and it was actually kind of work around hypertrophy work because I'm working through a little bit of a piriformis injury, which happened
from, meet, right?
From my last meet. Mm. And so, you know, again, being smart, not trying to test it and pull from the floor. Then I'll go, right now I'm in a strength block. My peaking block is only going to be 2 weeks. Mm. So,
but you've been doing pulls, rack pulls, and you've been doing pulls on
yeah.
the blocks, right?
So again, can still like, do some like work. Even when you're having something that's hurting to prevent it from turning into a major injury, there's always a way to work around. So since I'm a conventional puller, pulling from the floor was hurting just because being in that hinged position was not comfortable and I needed this to heal to be good on meet day. We changed me pulling from blocks and then just pulling a sumo from the floor just to get some work in, but not to injure anything. And it was actually very sub-maximal weight. I think from blocks, the max I pulled was 240, 45, so.
So we've talked a lot about hypertrophy and those higher rep ranges and then pulling heavy weights, of course. A lot of people that follow, you know, Louie and on the West Side stuff, they have their dynamic effort lifts where they're basically doing speed reps. Uh-huh. Do you do any speed training of any kind?
No, I don't do any of that. I mean, I try to make all my warm-up sets look like my one rep max. So if I can speed it up just a little bit for my body and the way my tempo runs, that's what I try to do. But I mean, I just try to keep consistent instead of trying to work through like, oh, this is going to be a speed day. Well, why not have every rep look the same?
Yeah. So but that's just the standard. Every rep is as fast as possible.
Yeah. Every rep needs to be as fast as possible.
Yeah.
For me.
During the demo, you talked about being pregnant.
Yeah.
You're a mother of two. You did discover powerlifting after pregnancy. However, you were training bodybuilding.
Yes.
And I know a lot of women are concerned about pregnancy and training. How did you navigate that?
Yeah, you know, when I was pregnant, it wasn't like as trendy as it is now with social media. See everybody, you know, lifting
pregnancy
weights.
Pregnancy is trendy?
It is. I think it is trendy now. You see them all. You see them all.
Everybody's
you know,
doing it.
Everybody's getting pregnant.
Everybody's
now.
Doing it.
Just jumping on the board. You've been doing it again.
Dude, I'm just trying to be cool.
Yeah, so I
not cool at all.
No,
you guys are not cool.
Andy and I are lagging.
Yeah, you're three times as
cool. You guys better get on it. But because I was used to being active, I wasn't about to like get pregnant and be like, oh, I'm going to sit home for 9 months, especially because at that time, and again, this was before social media, not to date myself, but you know, before social media and all of that, I would have people that I worked with were like, oh, now you're pregnant. You're going to lose all this now. You're never going to get your body back. I'm just like, you know, that's your reality, not mine. So because I was so active, I just continued doing what I did before. My doctor was like, well, you've done it. You'll be fine. You just have to listen to your body. And, you know, my goal at that time, and again, because I wasn't powerlifting, was just to maintain what I had. So not to lose anything. And I was able to squat, bench, and deadlift almost all the way through. I just switched from conventional to a sumo pulling to accommodate for the stomach. Ate regularly. I gained 21 pounds with both my kids.
Dang.
So it was just within the range and they're both healthy. And
did you do a wider stance squat as well to get out of the way or?
As I got bigger. I didn't have a stomach till I was about 6-7 months, like a noticeable stomach. So, I mean, it's not like I had to make huge adjustments, but you know, you're still able to train. It's not a physique death sentence. You can still come back after having kids. I always caution women after they've had the baby is just to take it a little bit slow because, you know, things are, I hate to say this because it sounds disgusting, but things are loose, you know, like yeah. things have been moved and stretched out. So I think you see the new trend is as soon as a lady pops out a baby, they want to get under that 225-pound squat again. It's like, no, maybe, you know, get your body accustomed to movement again. I think that's also one of the reasons I don't, you know, pee the platform when I deadlift is because right after I had both of my kids, I took it easy. I just did full body, really light stuff. I didn't put heavy weight back on my back until I was about, probably about my daughter was about 5-6 months. I started doing barbell work again. So I kind of took my recovery the same way that I did with my pregnancy and trimesters. 3 months doing this, 3 months doing this, and then 3 months getting back into the heavier lifting, making sure that, you know, after you have a baby, the hips, everything, the pelvis is kind of loose and stretched out. So I just mainly just didn't want to be injured, and I wanted to make sure that I was still able to lift heavy, you know, 2 years after I had my kids.
Did you do any specific core work or pelvic work or anything like that other than just normal lifting stuff?
I did a lot more breathing and ab stuff. Again, after you have a baby, you have to just make sure the abs are not separated because right. if they are separated, then ab work can actually cause more damage. But yeah, again, just more full body stuff, kind of just getting reacclimated into lifting and getting familiar with my body again, because after you have a baby, it's not the same. So, mm-hmm. you know, hips kind of stretch out a little bit. Everything's not where it once was, so.
How old are your kids now?
My daughter's 13 and my son's 11.
Yeah, how has it been? You know, I know a lot of women have a hard time getting in the gym.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I've got kids, I gotta take care of them now, because that's a huge shift. If you go from never, you know, you live your whole life without
yeah.
children, and then now you have to take care of one or two other people.
Yeah.
And how does that change your schedule?
Yeah, it definitely requires more schedule management, especially in the very beginning when you have a newborn and they're crying and, you know, you're tired. I think I cried more than my daughter when I first had my daughter because she was the biggest crybaby. She didn't sleep till she was 3 years old. And yeah, I mean, 3 daycares quit on me if that's any indication of how terrible she was.
Wow.
But
I'm the same boat.
Yeah, I actually, it's terrible,
we
right?
keep you keep kicking just, dog
just,
out of the
yeah.
I'm in the opposite boat. My kids fucking sleep amazing.
Oh. I hate you. Parents like me hate parents like you. Yeah. But, you know, I actually was working a 9-to-5 job at the time, so I would go train during my lunch break because that's the only time I had. Mm. And I know a lot of new moms kind of feel selfish, like, oh, I'm going to the gym, it's taking time away from my baby. But 45 minutes to yourself to where you can like go, okay, I'm not going to strangle this child today. I think it saves their life.
It's good for everybody.
It's good for everybody. Plus it gives you some semblance of normalcy. Just yeah. because you have kids, you don't need to live vicariously through them. You can still have goals. You can still be competitive in the things that you like, be it if it's lifting or kayaking or whatever it is you enjoy doing. When your kids see you doing that, I think it puts them on a good path to have their own goals and to know that you can still chase your dreams. And kids don't prevent you from doing that. If anything, I have a bigger cheering section. Or not, my daughter's very critical, but.
Do your kids lift?
You know what, it sucks because my daughter is amazingly strong. About 2 years ago, she wanted to go to the gym and, you know, I'm putting her through like full body stuff. She did gymnastics, you know, when she was younger. And I was just amazed at how strong she is. But now she's 13, God forbid she get man hands. Mom, yeah. I don't want man hands like you. I don't want people to think I look manly. I'm just like, oh my God. But she's 13, so I just leave her.
Yeah, yeah.
But she did the other day tell me she wants a bikini butt, so. Whatever gets him in the gym.
There you go.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are weird or resistant to putting their kids into like a strength sport when they're like, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. Like lifting weights is bad for you, but like have no problem putting their kids into gymnastics.
Yeah.
Which is like almost all strength training, depending on how you look
at it. I think gymnastics, honestly, I think is the best sport you can put your kids in the very beginning. Both my son and my daughter did tumbling, not even to be in the competitive route, but I think it teaches body awareness. It teaches you, you know, where your spatial awareness when you're doing the tumbling. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, especially for girls, it's a very good beginning to upper body strength development. Most girls cannot do a pull-up. I remember when I was in elementary school, we had the physical fitness test and we were doing arm hangs, but even for the boys, they eliminated that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't even have to do that anymore as a child. So I think for kids, gymnastics is like a great sport and to start out with. And I think it has good transfer into all the other sports that you want to have your kids do. And I tell my kids to do a multiple things, you know, don't just get stuck on one right now. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember doing something really similar because I did gymnastics when I was a little kid too. I was like four until I went. It really did help me for the whole rest of my life, especially with mobility and good strength development from an early age. But I remember doing the presidential physical fitness thing too when I lived in Arizona. We're outside; it's like the whole class is out there, and me and my buddy Ricky, who we did gymnastics together.
Remembers his name and everything.
No kidding.
Oh yeah, dude.
At the very momentous occasion when you get that thing signed by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Say what?
The paper.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. But like we were out there, and I remember like literally being confused because I never like worked out with my class at school. Like, but I worked out with Ricky all the time because we were in gymnastics together, and all the kids like can barely hang over the bar, and then I did like 10 pull-ups, and Ricky did like 18 or something like that. We were just like, what is wrong with all these kids? Yeah. Like, we were so far ahead because we had done gymnastics growing up.
Yeah, like, again, I think it just is a great intro to just upper body development, and that's why I love calisthenics so much now, too. It's, you kind of can still lift weights, but I'm still able to move and do fancy tricks, and, you know.
Most powerlifters aren't doing calisthenics.
No.
Most people are like, if it's not a weight, I don't want to do it.
And I'm all about, balance and having fun, and I don't lift heavy just so I can lift heavy. I lift heavy so that I'm able to do other things and have fun.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
I'm really impressed with your ability to think long-term, being 41 years old, super healthy, strongest woman on the planet, and that's due to the fact that you've really taken care of yourself along the way. I'm really impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like getting the reminder that bodybuilding specifically like makes it where you don't have any weaknesses showing up. All muscle groups are developed, and that's really important for your longevity and for like ultimate strength development as well as injury prevention.
Yep.
I was really interested, particularly right now with where I'm at in my life, of your advice for training when pregnant. And the fact that you don't have to compromise your physique and that you can pretty much keep to what you're doing and small alterations and you can keep things going.
Yeah. Where can people find more about you?
Well, I'm on YouTube and on Instagram under Marisa Inda. I also have an ebook that just came out. It's called Fuerza, A Female's Guide to Strength and Physique. So just how to combine the two and how strength is like a path to having aesthetics. And it talks about pregnancy, calisthenics, cardio, nutrition, a little bit of everything, kind of my journey through lifting.
Excellent. Go check that out. And go over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, positive comments only. Head over to YouTube. We have a whole channel there full of really great videos we're putting out all the time. Subscribe there as well so you always get that update. See you next time.